Wake up to Fiji, a world full of wonders that turn heads and make your senses spin. With non-stop flights weekly from Vancouver, discover the upside of coming down. Visit fijiairways.com to book today.
Morning with Stacey Bratzel and Daryl McIntyre on 630 CHED is brought to you by Abe's Door Service, where service is their specialty. Visit abesdoor.ca.
Good morning, everyone. 6:06, you're listening to This Morning on 630 CHED. I'm Stacey Bratzel, hanging out with Daryl McIntyre, and we, of course, will be talking Oilers throughout the show. Obviously, a lot of fans wondering what went wrong yesterday. But to put things into perspective, we're also focusing on Remembrance Day, which is tomorrow.
Lots of people... For them, Remembrance Day means different things.
Of course.
Perhaps you have a family member who was involved in service at some point. At this point, for the Second World War, I believe I saw that there's only just over 9,000 Second World War veterans who are still with us. Mm-hmm. So some of those, it's very important to keep hearing those stories and finding out what they went through for that. But there have been there has been service in so many other theaters and regular service, peacetime service as well within the military. And so that's all remembered as well. For an awful lot of people, it's not remembering, it's honoring the veterans of today. And that's where we go to with our next guest. He has a podcast called Operation Tango Romeo. Tango for trauma, Romeo for recovery. It's the Trauma Recovery Podcast for military, for veterans, first responders as well, their families. Name is Mark Meinke, and he's joining us this morning to talk about the podcast, about Remembrance Day, but also we want to focus in on one of the most recent podcasts. So, Mark, good morning. How are you?
Folks, thanks so much for having me.
You betcha. Nice
so
to
Mark,
have you.
Why did you want to start this podcast? Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I'm an Army veteran, and I was in a war that caused me an injury of PTSI and post-traumatic stress injury. And I went 23 years without being diagnosed, is the short version. So when I started the healing journey, that was a tough road to hoe. That first phone call was really something, the 1,000-pound telephone. And there was no help after my initial intake. There was a 10-month gap before I could actually see a therapist. So the only thing really that I could do was join this peer support group, which I wasn't too big on. You know, it sounded like a kumbaya kind of thing, and it didn't really seem like it was for me. But I joined, and I'm glad I did. And then a year later, I actually started running the group. I was the facilitator. Then I started to realize, oh man, there's so much power in this peer support group. People come from hours away just to come here once every 2 weeks. So how do I scale it? How do I make it bigger, more accessible to more people? And I started the show.
Because the most important thing from the sounds of it is to not feel alone. You said that it was really hard making that first phone call because, well, you just don't know. And so not being alone, knowing that there are others who have gone through the same thing, knowing that there's basically a place where you belong, how vital has that been?
Well, that's why it was a 1,000-pound telephone. A big part of it is that I was the guy with the cape. I was the superhero, you know, the hero of the story. And you had to swallow some serious pride in order to go, ugh, I need help. I need help. I'm the guy that needs to be rescued here. That was brutal. And unfortunately, some people never, ever do it because the stigma of asking for help is just too much for somebody that used to be the hero, or perhaps they're active serving and they still are. So when they hear people like myself talking openly and honestly, what we're doing is called lending courage, which is why we often say in the healing community, recover out loud. When you recover out loud, you're lending courage and you're taking away the stigma because you're saying the things that you're going through and that you're injured with a PTSI, like it's no big deal because it's common and there shouldn't be any shame. So when we talk without shame, it lets others know that there's really no shame to be had. It's okay to not be okay.
So you went from a 1,000-pound telephone to sharing is caring bandwagon, right? I saw that on your website yesterday.
Share, like the sugar bear, because sharing is caring, you bet.
Who do you look for in terms of guests and topics?
Well, when it first started, it was peer support. So it was more psych ed and just letting people know this is the injury and this is what we do. And then after that, I was like, well, there's got to be a better mousetrap, because this experience that I had at the operational stress injury clinic, it's there's got to be a better mousetrap. There's got to be a better way. Or for the people that just won't do talk therapy, there has to at least be a different way. It was something that is a better fit for them. So I started looking and looking and looking, and it turns out I was the only guy looking. Because they're out there. And I found different healing modalities and practitioners from around the world. So that was the first bit. And then it moved into advocacy, which is an example of that is my recent episode.
And that one, that's exactly where we wanted to go next. Because you talked to a fellow by the name of Phil Brooks, and he had the hashtag was Phil on the Hill. Tell us a little bit about his background, because we do have a clip of him from your podcast just saying about his experience. But set it up for us a little bit about who Phil is and what his story is.
So Phil is a injured Air Force veteran. He was a pilot. And one of the common injuries that happened to people of my vintage was Mefquin poisoning, which is something that for years and years and years, the military liked to pretend wasn't real, wasn't happening, just like Agent Orange and other things that famous things that veterans were poisoned with. So the Mefquin poisoning and other injuries that happened to him caused him to incredibly brilliant man. Like, this guy is like a 150 plus IQ kind of guy, a lawyer, a high achiever. This degenerative poisoning is a brain injury. So basically he has like an encephalitis, and he's so disabled that at times, like, he can barely speak. He can't think correctly. He cannot function. So he was on veterans benefits, and because he didn't fill out the right form in the right way at the right time, didn't jump through the hoops, they cut him off of his benefits instead of helping him and supporting him.
And he ended up going on Parliament Hill in order to draw attention to that. This is how some of those 3 weeks went.
For 21 days, I'm standing outside Parliament, and literally these politicians walking right past me, breaking their neck not to make eye contact. Like, it's visible that they're avoiding me.
Yeah, and that's been his experience. It's bizarre. Like, I'm not a partisan guy at all, but isn't it interesting that about 90% of the politicians that did talk to him, because finally some did, it took a few weeks, but finally some did, other than a couple of friends of mine, they were all conservatives. I think there's been two Liberal MPs that have talked to him, and the rest have been conservative, and zero NDP that I'm aware of. I don't know why that is. I don't understand. He's wearing a suit. He's very easy to talk to, very intelligent guy, and non-threatening in any way. He's super polite, and he comes across really well. So I don't know why people are avoiding him. He's not some crazy kook screaming conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
He's a very put together guy.
He ended up getting the chance to meet with the Veteran Affairs Minister, and then you talked to him about that.
So right. let's go back to the conversation with the minister. What was her response to listening to you, and what did she promise you?
Okay, well, don't forget she was cornered. So I stood outside for 21 days. I starved for
Phil,
3 in
Phil,
the floor.
What did she promise you?
Nothing.
She didn't make a promise.
It was very interesting listening to this podcast, Mark. As a host who has been there, you come from it from a different angle than perhaps me or Daryl. We've never experienced war trauma. And you were very gentle as an interviewer, trying to keep Phil on track. That's what I really noticed. You were very kind and gentle and giving, and it was actually quite lovely to listen to.
Well, thank you for that. I actually was a little self-conscious that I was being rude, but Phil and I both explained that, and he backed me up kindly, that I know he has a brain injury and that he can't stay on track. So he graciously allows me to lead him in those conversations. And so it's out of love. And it's also out of respect for the listener that we stay on the point. And thank you for pointing that out. It was very kind of you.
But do people feel safer with you and able to open up to you more than somebody else?
Well, yes, because I'm credible. That goes back to the lending courage thing. Because I'm incredibly transparent, I share things on the show that I wasn't able to tell another human being until I was 48 years old. Now, my wife was the first person I told about sexual trauma as a child. And now I say it very openly without any hesitation, because by me doing that, it allows others to go, oh, maybe I don't have to keep that dirty little secret. Yep. Because it's the secrets that make you sick. And that transparency lends courage. So I feel a responsibility to be as open as possible.
We have one more excerpt from what Phil was saying, because I think that's important as we come up on Remembrance Day about how we remember, how we mark the day. And so Phil had a message to MPs.
You asked what I asked for. The first thing is stop kicking injured veterans off their entitlements. They're taxpayer funded. Taxpayers want them delivered. Veterans deserve them. And there is no excuse whatsoever on this God-given earth why there should be withdrawn. That is unjust enrichment by the government. And it is horribly negligent and harmful.
So I don't know how many Phil Brooks stories there are out there, or what the majority is. There are so many. Well, you've been doing this podcast, you would know. What's your message for Remembrance Day?
That to try to understand the sacrifice of the living. Nobody ever truly comes home from war. Nobody does. Only a haunted version of yourself returns. A version that is carrying a burden so that others don't have to carry that burden. We're doing it so that others don't have to. And there's us younger folks, not everybody who's a veteran is in their 90s. You know, there's active serving right now, and people of my vintage that were in the Balkan Wars. And I've got a lot of friends that have died by suicide because of their injuries, or are wicked alcoholics, or are homeless on the street, all because of their trauma injuries. And to have compassion, when you see somebody that's homeless on the street, understand that they have a story. They got there for a reason. They're not, they are worthy of your respect and your care and your empathy. Same as any drug addict. They are worthy of your kindness and compassion and understanding, because they got a story that'll probably make your toes curl. They all do. Every one of them. Everybody who is in that situation has a trauma story. I'm just glad, I'm lucky, I'm blessed that I never ended up homeless or in jail. I was able, and not because I'm stronger or better, I was just blessed to not end up that way. But it could be you too.
And grace of God go I, right? That's that biblical saying. Thanks, Mark, for all that you do.
Thanks for having me, folks. And honestly, by having me on today, you may have brought one more desperate soul to the show, and you may have saved a life. So thank you so much for sharing like the sugar bear and sharing the message.
You bet. Thanks, Mark. Take care.
All right, folks. Take care.
That's Mark Meinke. He is the host of Operation Tango Romeo, the Trauma Recovery Podcast. And if you do need help, he does have this line on his website, the Crisis Services Canada hotline, available 24/7, 365 days a year, 1-833-456-4566.
Where can you remember in our area? We'll talk about those locations next.
You know that I can use somebody else.
This Morning with Stacey Brotzel and Daryl McIntyre on 630 CHED, presented by Abe's Door Service, with 24/7 emergency service where you speak to an actual person. Visit abesdoor.ca.
And if you want to find that that website, it's simply operationtraumarecovery.org. And you can find out more about what Mark's been doing and his message.
I had to actually write down some of the things he said because they're extremely powerful. Understand the sacrifices of the living. You know, we do talk about World War One and World War Two, but what about the ones who are going through their own personal wars? Yeah. And also he says, you never come back from war. And I had that experience once. I was in Vietnam and I met a U.S. war vet, and I'll never forget him. And he said he left. He obviously suffered amazing trauma, incredibly horrific trauma when he was at war in Vietnam. And he went back and he said, this wasn't my home anymore, the United States. So he went back and he lives in Vietnam. And I think he's just sort of...
finding his way?
Oh, I think he's far from finding his way. But
finding a way.
Finding a way. And he sort of left his youth. He left so much of himself on those battlegrounds that that's where he felt that he needed to go, and that's where he needed to be. He failed marriages, left his kids to go to Vietnam, and that's where he's sort of living out his days. He's an older gentleman, lovely gentleman, but obviously lots of trauma there.
So, however you remember, mark, commemorate, honor, there are lots of places to do it within the city of Edmonton. There's of course the one at City Hall that goes goes each year, sure. And you know, seating starts early at around 10 o'clock, and the main ceremony of course is at 11 o'clock. Beverly Cenotaph is obviously a huge one as well.
I think that one's almost replaced the Butterdome one. Of course, yeah. Don't go to the Butterdome because that it's doesn't happen anymore. So I think that one, and it's a beautiful historic area of town. So that's 118th Avenue and 40th Street in Northwest Edmonton there, or Northeast Edmonton.
Pretty much any of the legions you can go to, and even if you're not sure what exactly they're doing, just give them a call. They'd be more than happy to hear from you. But, you know, everything, if you think of it as show up at 10:30, Kingsway Legion has ceremony, Norwood, Strathcona, all of them have things. Alberta Aviation Museum also has one going on, because obviously there's so much military aircraft history that they're certainly diving in on the Remembrance Day as well.
And there's a cenotaph in every small town you go to. Yeah. Sherwood Park, St. Albert, St. Paul. When I was up there last weekend, there's one there as well. So
you know what else? Sometimes, for whatever circumstance, you don't make it to a ceremony. Mm-hmm. But it's been a poignant moment if you do stop at 11. And even if you pause for a minute and just reflect and then move about your day. I think there are an awful lot of people who, you know, years upon years later after the Second World War, so that, you know, in 100 years, people would still stop and pause and think and remember. It makes a difference.
It certainly does.
It's 1986, and Michael Morrison needs to get out of Newark. He's offered a lifeline, a new job, a chance to leave and secure his future. But it's not just any job. Mike is a cop. As a black man in uniform, this job will make him question everything he knows about justice, community, and about himself. I'm Saren Jones, and this is Black and Blue, Behind the Badge. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.